It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number two brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We left off before we took a break, Greg, looking at Ryan Bates, looking at Connor McGovern, their choices to leave early. You did have Steven Gonzalez come out and say it. I know you thought it was a little bit funny that you had to have a guy like Steven Gonzalez come out and say that he's staying. But he is staying, which does bring back, you know, really, in essence, the whole left side of the line. Talk about Will Fries, Steven Gonzalez, Michael Mennett. It's something to build around. How surprised were you to see that announcement of him returning?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously the fact that he put a statement out there means he was very closely considering going pro with Ryan Bates and Connor McGovern. I don't think there's any question about that. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like he probably put some thought into it and said, well, I can come back and be the anchor of this line along with Michael Mennett, or I can go to the NFL and maybe not get drafted. I don't know what feedback he got, if he got any, from the NFL's, what do they call it now, the College Draft Advisory Board or something. But yeah. I would assume they gave him a return to school grade because he probably would have left otherwise. So all the information that was presented to him, clearly he decided that staying in school is the best choice for him. And, you know, it's good news for Penn State. Now they don't have to replace three starters, just two. And so, you know, we'll see how things shake out. But it certainly is good news for the Lions.
I do feel the same way, that replacing two guys instead of three, there's a difference there. My question for you is, as you look back and get to process a little bit on how 2018 went, how good was this line? What grade, or what, on a scale from 1 to 10? They weren't a unit that was responsible for losing games, and they weren't a unit who was often responsible for winning games. I think there were some good moments along the way, but this wasn't a dominant unit by any means. And it's not something that, you know, you lose two guys and you feel ravaged by it. I still don't know how I feel about the O-line. I think it was above average, is where I would say.
I think that's probably fair. I think that obviously, you know, Penn State was hoping that this would be the year that they kind of turned a corner in that department. I think the line was more reliable this year than it has been in past years, but it wasn't dominating. And that's really, you know, a lot of people ask, when's Penn State's, you know, going to compete for a national title? When can they win the Big Ten consistently? When can they make the college football playoff for the first time? So on and so forth. Look, the answer is, obviously there's a lot of factors, but that when that offensive line becomes dominating, then they'll have a shot, because you look at the teams that they get in there, they dominate on both sides of the ball. Penn State in big games has not, over the last few years, have been able to take over in the trenches. They've been taken over. And, you know, obviously in 2016, that took them to the cusp of making the college football playoff. Not quite there. But the last two seasons, when it really has mattered to most, Penn State typically just has not been up to the challenge along the offensive or defensive line. So when they get to that point, that's when I think this team can take the next step. Well, I think a lot of people thought that would be this year. It was not. So we'll see. Maybe, you know, some guys move on, you get some new faces in there, and maybe that turns the corner. Who knows?
Could change the chemistry of the group, because both McGovern and Bates were mainstays in that group. And, you know, it'll be an interesting time to see how the group fares going forward. And as you lose experience, you know, if this group was so experienced and had played a lot of football together but wasn't really a dominator, will Penn State have a dominator? That's right. What I want to find out. Maybe some new blood will change the group dynamic. Looking at the other side of the ball, Kevin Givens, a little bit of a surprise. I suspect that he's going to test well. He has, of all the guys who have left early, he's got the most ability to create that kind of viral testing clip. I don't know whether it's bench press or what, or whether his squatting ability becomes a clip that gets showed during the draft coverage. But his raw strength is really pretty phenomenal. And I think what happened, you know, five years ago or so, Aaron Donald changed the way that teams viewed height when it comes to the defensive tackle position. And I think that's something that could benefit Kevin Givens, who stands around 6'1". He's not long and strong. He's right. just a strong guy, but there's proof out there now that you don't necessarily need to be 6'4" to get the job done. So that helps him. I think in terms of looking ahead to 2019, this one does sting because I don't know what the rest of the defensive tackle – I don't know what to make of the rest of the D-tackle rotation. So to lose a starter means somebody's got to emerge and be starter-worthy in terms of their play. There are some candidates for sure, but I still just haven't – I haven't known how to feel about, you know, defensive tackles numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6 really all year long. And then, you know, you lose Fred Hansard, for example, along the way. And I just can't be sure what's going on there and who can be a starter.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest problem, right? I mean, you don't know when Fred Hansard will be back. So he got injured, trying to remember when he got hurt. But, I mean, for the kind of foot injury that it looks like he has, you're thinking probably 8 months there. So maybe if he's lucky, he's back for the start of summer camp. Who knows what the deal is with Ellison Jordan. He struggles to stay healthy, didn't play in the Citrus Bowl. Robert Windsor suspended for the Citrus Bowl. You assume he comes back as a starter, but who knows? So, yeah, I mean, they need P.J. Mustipher to step up next year. That's really the biggest thing that comes to mind. And they're probably going to be forced to keep C.J. Thorpe over on that side of the ball for now because of that.
Well, and I think I would say also don't forget about your Judge Culpepper, your Aeneas Hawkins. It's going to be you're going to need young guys to play bigger roles. And it's not ideal. It's not ideal for those spots. I think it's still – I think it's going to be a work in progress next year. There's some upside for sure, but they got to be able to tap into it. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by TailgateWine.com. You're looking for a unique gift idea, birthdays, anniversaries, whatever. For that Penn State fan in your life, you have to check out TailgateWine.com, the blue and white wine gift box. Also have some wine and barbecue pairings with sauces and rubs. You can check it all out, tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Looking at the coaching staff change that has been announced now, and the one that people are wondering if is being slow played a little bit, start with David Corley, 1 year as Penn State's wide receivers coach. He was relieved of his duties, 2 days after the Citrus Bowl?
Was it even 2 days? I felt like it was maybe six hours.
Yeah, I think they were pretty eager to get out there and get that spot filled.
Right.
So no new news as far as that goes, but this is a guy who arrived at Penn State from Army as a running backs coach, was moved to coach wide receivers when they hired Jawan Sider. The group, I don't think there's any way to say it other than that everybody from the 2017 season regressed, and you just didn't see any progress in terms of obviously making catches on the football. Nobody was getting separation. You know, there's some talented guys in that wide receivers room. And I think, you know, this was a case where James saw David Corley as a really good staff fit, a really good fit in terms of being a recruiter, personality wise. But, you know, 1 year into it, just not seeing it from a development side, which, of course, is the most important part of the job when you have you're in charge of a position group.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think he deserves a little bit of credit for what KJ Hamler and Jed. That's one thing I struggled with David Corley throughout the course of the season is you can give him the blame for Juwan Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins, Brandon Polk not thriving, but then don't you have to give him a little bit of credit for Jahan Dotson and KJ Hamler if you're going to do that? So at the end of the day, it was pretty clear, I think. Or at some point this season, it became pretty clear that Corley just wasn't a fit, I don't think, for this program. It's not, I don't know, I'm not sure if it was him or the program or vice versa, but he, you know, came from Army. If you go back and think about it, I mean, Penn State might have been in a better spot if it just cut ties. I almost did David Corley a solid and kept him on this season. He can say he had Penn State on his resume, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, once he moved from running back to receiver, it was pretty much a doomsday scenario for him and now, as we know, it turned out for Penn State. So, tough deal, but you couldn't pass on Jawan Sider. You just couldn't do it. Yeah. And he's obviously already proved his worth. Miles Sanders and all the running backs have developed very, very well. Penn State gets John Dunmore. They have Derek Wingo committed in the class of 2020 from Florida. So, I mean, I guess it all comes out in the wash in the end, but obviously a tough situation there.
And I think it's just another reminder. You can't stash recruiters anywhere. And it's not to say that David Corley, but as you explained, it's not that David Corley is a bad football coach. He was just in a tough situation there. And I think that James Franklin liked what he brought to the table in a lot of different ways. But I you know, that position group is too talented and too important to Penn State's offense to get anybody other than an expert in the field to develop them.
Yeah.
The obvious follow up question when you see that news come out is, what about Phil Galliano? And you know, we tried to tread really lightly last week. Like, I don't want to see any human being lose their job. Like, I want to. The criticism is fair. I don't know, you know, what all goes into this decision for James Franklin, what all changes can be made to how they approach special teams beyond just who your coordinator is. So I think all that stuff needs to be considered. Maybe just from a top to bottom approach, Penn State just needs to make a lot of changes in terms of how they coach up their special teams. But it appears for now that Phil Galliano is back for 2019.
Yeah, I mean, I would say at this point, and we have sort of a history here of saying things and then they prove to, you know, the news comes out moans after we get done saying them. But
obviously, yeah.
So the recruiting dead period ends and coaches can go back on the road later this week on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember which, but it's one of those. So I would say this, in my mind, Phil Galliano's back for the 2019 season, but we will know for sure because if Penn State's going to make a change, they're going to do it, you know, before the coaches go back on the road, because obviously you're not going to send Phil Galliano out to recruit for you and then let him go. So, but no, I mean, to me, if they were going to do this, they would have done it already. James Franklin and his staff were down at the American Football Coaches Association convention, which is an annual gathering of coaches and support people and all kinds of other college football figureheads. So, you know, if they were going to do that, they would use that opportunity, like they are with David Corley's position, to talk to other coaches down there, and you kind of have some cover, if you will, to sort of meet with some people that maybe you don't want anyone else to know about you're meeting with. So if they were going to make a move, I think they'd have made it by now.
One other thing to touch on before we move on to the January enrollees is Justin Fields, the former Penn State commit, went to Georgia really with an outside shot at best to win that starting job. So he doesn't beat out Jake Fromm for that job. Now he goes to Ohio State, has to battle Tate Martell there. I wonder, you know, what happens if he loses that position fight, and what happens if he wins? How good can he be? How good can Ohio State be?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think it's interesting that he goes from one, you know, quarterback he maybe can't beat. I guess he thinks he's going to beat out Tate Martell, so that's an interesting dynamic for that quarterback room. But I mean, if Fields is what everyone thought he could be, that program, the ceiling's the limit. There is really no limit for those guys. And Ryan Day, you know, we'll see how he transitions things here in the new year.
Big win for the Buckeyes there, and Penn State once had Justin Fields committed. Now we'll have to face him on the other side of the field. We're moving on. January enrollees, a look at those 12 guys coming up.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.